thank you. I thank the Lord for allowing me back here another Saturday afternoon. It's a privilege today to be saved and have your sins forgiven. You've been saved and born again. I tell you, you never get over it. I tell you, you just want to try to strive harder and please the Lord and do your best to please Him. I tell you, this old flesh is the daily thing to put up with and to die to and to crucify and mortify and put it to death each and every day, because flesh, it wants to do what it wants to do. We're tempted on every hand. Of course, Satan, our adversary, is going to do all he can to captivate our minds, to bring us into captivity, that he might be able to rule us. And I tell you, that's what he does. He starts with our minds. He takes our minds, and then he overtakes the body. He'll get you to fulfill what he wants you to do when he overtakes the mind. That's why the Bible talked about, of course, to gird up the loins of our mind, being sober-minded, clear-thinking, and thinking on things above and not on things beneath. Our mind is where the devil attacks us. He does all he can to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. He is the adversary. The devil is that roaring lion. I tell you, he's going to do his best, do all he can to defeat us. But I know we keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our eyes and our mind in this book and the Word of God, do our best to please Him and to pray. We'll gain strength. We'll be able to control our minds. We'll be able to bring those thoughts into captivity before they bring us down. Like what Paul said, he said he'd bring every thought, every imagination, anything exalts itself. He learned to bring it into captivity. He learned to put it aside and not to entertain it. I tell you, that's the hard thing to do, I tell you, is to, of course, get over self. I tell you, we got to learn to get over ourselves, to learn not to think on ourselves, but think on the welfare of others and do our best to please the Lord. I tell you, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Jesus, of course, his mind was on others. His mind was on the needs of people, their welfare. I tell you, the healing that they needed. And of course, their sins, most of all, being forgiven. I tell you, his mind was always on others. And I tell you, that's the way I want to be. I try to be that way. I try to think on others. I tell you, I try to think on their welfare and what they need, spiritually speaking, especially. I tell you, people are lost and they're on the way to hell. The only hope they got is someone that will care for them and love them enough to pray for them and to labor over their souls. And I tell you, to lift up a fervent prayer for them. And I know if we'll do that, then God will hear and answer our prayers and He'll save them. I tell you, our prayers will come more before God, just like it did in the time of Cornelius, the Italian man. The Bible said his prayers came a memorial before God. God remembered his prayers that he prayed. He was a man that prayed and wept for his people. And I tell you, he called for one Simon Tanner. He called for Peter to come down to his house. He was a Gentile man. He was an Italian man. He called for a Jewish man. And the Bible talked about, we know how the Jews didn't have no dealings with others and, of course, of the Gentiles. But God began to deal with Peter before they even called for him. God began to show Peter in a vision there. When he was up on the housetop, I believe he was waiting. He was hungry. And, of course, the Lord began to show him a vision. He let down a sheep. The Bible said, down from heaven, having a four-footed beast, and told him to rise up and eat. I tell you, he began to tell him the story about this type of thing. And Peter said, when I eat of anything, it's uncommon. Of course, it's unclean. And the Lord said, what have I cleansed? Don't call unclean. So the Lord was beginning to deal with him. It was brought down three times. About that third time, the Bible said that the people, the servants, of course, of Cornelius, was at his house, knocking at his door, calling for him. I tell you, he began to call for him. He went on down, and he preached to Cornelius in his house. He spoke the word to the Lord. And I tell you, the Bible said that Cornelius' house was all there. His prayers got him in. His prayers got them there where they could hear the word of God preached. They got saved. The Bible talked about that they were saved. Thank God the Lord still saves precious souls. And that's the way it was. They heard the word of God preached. They believed what they heard. The Holy Ghost came on them when they got saved, see? And then they got baptized in the water. That's why Peter said, what? Of course, forbid why they should not be baptized, seeing that they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have. We see that they have the Holy Ghost before they ever got into the water. I tell you, the water has no power to save. I tell you, I told a man this last week, and he was concerned. He was, of course, in jail. He was concerned that if he died without being baptized in the water, that he'd go to hell. And I gave him scripture, and I told him that no that water baptism has no power to save, that it's only in the blood of Jesus that you get saved and get cleansed and washed. And of course, the water baptism is something we do to go on, because Jesus said, it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. But it just lets the world know that we're, of course, laid down an old man and raised up anew. It's just to show the world. I tell you, that the transformation's already took place. The Lord's already quickened us and made us alive already on the inside. When He saves you, He saves you and cleanses you and puts His Spirit in you. He places you into the body of Christ, and you never are the same. I tell you, there's things we do afterwards, and that's, of course, being baptized in the water and joining the church that God has put on our hearts and put us in to join. I tell you, that's the way it goes. I tell you, people today, they have it backwards. I mean, they go, and they, of course, get a malconfession out of them, and they join the church and get baptized, and they call themselves saved. I tell you, folks, it's more than a way of religion today. It's more than just confessing with your mouth, and it's more than just joining up with some type of a denomination church or some type of place and just joining up and just trying to do good and live right and all these types of things. It's more than a community clubhouse, and that's what today this world has made the Lord's church. They've made it, a community clubhouse. They made it a den of thieves today. They think, of course, that the church is where you go and where you have a good time and you just join what you want to. Join the church baseball team, the church softball team, the church volleyball team, and all these types of things. They feel like that's what church is all about. But I'm going to tell you, folks, that's not of the church. The Bible says we ought to keep that, of course, church holy, not to bring all that into the church. We ought to keep it out of the church. I believe in playing little ball. As long as it's God's will, it's not on the Lord's time, and you dress right when you're doing it. But make sure it's not time that God wants you to be praying or doing the work of God or visiting the nursing home or visiting the shelter, people that are closed in, the shut-ins, or maybe just going and seeing you people and witnessing and testifying to them. I tell you, we've got to be sure that we're about the Father's business. Now, when He saves us for service, and He puts us out to do a work. God saved every person for work. He didn't save anyone to sit down on the stool to do nothing, say, well, I've got my citizenship already settled in heaven. I'm saved and I'm sealed and I'm going to heaven and I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch my television all day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to be concerned about my neighbor, my fellow man. God, have mercy on you today. Most people that think like that are not even saved. But a few that are, you better believe that their sins going to find them out. God's going to lay the rod on them. He's going to deal with them. The Bible said that no man lives unto himself. The Bible said that we're not our own. The Bible said we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. We're not our own. So we're, of course, to glorify God in our mind, soul, strength, everything. Just glorify God in our bodies and do our best to please Him and to win the lost to Him before it's everlasting. Too late. It's going to be too late to work one day. It's going to be too late to pray. It's going to be too late to get them in. I tell you, the Bible said we better work while we have light, while we got day. We better do what we can now. Do what we can while we can, because the time's coming where it's all going to be over. I tell you, the Lord's coming real soon. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know He's coming. He's promised He's going to come back and get His church out of this old wicked world. He's coming. He's waiting on the Father. He's waiting, no doubt, for the Father to send Him back after His bride. I tell you, He's ready. He's, no doubt, He's wanting, of course, His bride. He's going to bring us home one day. He's waiting, thank God. The Lord is, of course, the Lord Jesus Himself is praying for us. And the Bible said that, of course, He's interceding prayers for the saints according to the will of God. But let me tell you something, folks. I have so many people I want to see get saved before it comes. I don't really want Him to come right now, but I believe if He comes, I believe He'll save those that I've labored for. I believe that. I believe in household salvation. I believe if we pray and labor like Cornelius did, I believe if we'll do that, that I believe our family will get in. I believe that all that we've been laboring over and praying for, God will give them that place. He'll deal with them in such a way and put in their hearts to call on Him. I tell you, well, I believe in prayer, and I know it. I've seen it happen. And I know there's power in prayer, but let me tell you something. You must be ready. I tell you, He's coming real soon. If you're not saved today, I tell you something, folks, you got to get honest with the Lord and really see yourself a sinner and call on the name of the Lord. I tell you, the Bible said that's how you get saved, by calling on the name of the Lord, not just calling out of one's mouth. But it's got to get down in the heart. I mean, you got to want him above life itself. Nothing else matters but Jesus. I mean, you want him to want to be saved above everything, and okay, and you're seeking him with a whole heart. I mean, nothing, like I said, nothing else matters, and you're calling on him out of your heart. The Bible said, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe in one's heart, and when you do, if you'll start after a godly sort, I promise you, he'll save you. I tell you, well, it's not the course is not on God's part that you're not saved. It's your part. I tell you, his hand's not shortened that he cannot save. His ear's not too heavy that he cannot hear you. I tell you, he's there for you. He said, come, come now. He said, you that are thirsty, he said, come. He said, now a drink of the water of life freely. He said, come. He said, now you're spending your money that, for bread that satisfy not. He said, now come unto him and take a good drink. I tell you, I'm so glad to know that I have tasted of him. I tell you, I took a good drink. Like the psalm, like one said, the scripture said, oh, come and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, he's good. I mean, he's better than good. I tell you, I cannot put into words how good he is. I tell you, he's been a friend to me. He's been, I tell you, the biggest friend I've ever had. And I tell you, you don't know what I'm talking about today unless you've really been saved and trying to walk with the Lord. I tell you, he is a real friend. I mean, he's there. I tell you, he communes with you. He walks with you. He guides you. I tell you, you know he's in charge. I tell you, I'm so glad that the Lord hears us and he don't cast us off. I'm so glad the Lord don't cast me off, but he loves me. He's a true friend. A true friend will not forsake you. He won't cast you down and throw you aside when you make mistakes, but he'll love you. He'll care for you. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Thank God it's God's love that he covers us with, and he covers our sins. He loves us. He don't condone our sins. He deals with us about our sins. But if we're earnest with the Lord, if we're sorry about our sins, if we'll confess our sins to God, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. He'll cleanse you of all your sins. Thank God he died for sin, and he died one time. He won't have to die a second time. Thank God the next time he comes, he's coming to get his bride. He's coming to get his church out of here. He's coming real soon. He's going to get us out. And then all pure hell's going to break loose on this earth. I tell you, folks, if then comes the tribulation, and of course, there's going to be tribulation saints that also going to be carried out. He's going to come and get them, too. There's already been the first fruit of them that slept. And then the rest of the church is coming next. I tell you, he's coming after his people. And I tell you, I know he's coming. I'm looking forward to it. But today, I want to speak to you out of book of St. John, chapter number 12. Talk about this woman here. I just want to, whatever the Lord puts on the heart, that's what we'll say. I tell you, I believe in following the Lord. I believe in following the Holy Spirit. I tell you, my flesh is rotten. And I tell you, it don't matter how well but you can quote the scriptures. It don't matter how many scriptures you can write down and have it on a piece of paper and say it and just have it all planned out beautifully. I'm going to tell you something, the Holy Spirit don't give it. It's dry. It's dry as the bone, and it don't have no life in it, and it won't give life to no one else. And we must have, of course, the Spirit of God in our souls and moving us and speaking through us that it might enter to the hearts of men and deal with them, convict them of their sins, and have hope of being saved. It's that serious, folks, today. I tell you, it just grieves me to sit down and listen to people that don't have no Spirit of God in them. I mean, they're dry. They're up there trying to look good. They're trying to sound good. They're trying to be a jokester. They're trying to do things and to be noticed to mankind. They're not really sincere and earnest, and they don't really have a burden for people. And you can tell it when you listen to them. I tell if a man of God really is preaching, he's going to have a burden and compassion for those that he's preaching to. He's going to have a burden for them. And I tell you can feel it, and you can sense it, and you can sense the love of God in him. But these folks, they just playing around. I tell you, it grieves me, but the Bible said it's going to be that way in the last days, that scoffers and mockers shall come. The Bible talked about that. It talked about the ever learned but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible talked about reprobated minds, people, reprobated minds. These people done went so far that they just reprobate. They've been turned over. Yeah, they speak about Jesus and they talk about Jesus, but yet they've been given over to the devil. They done been become a reprobate, no doubt, and they're not of God. They're not God's preachers, but they're ministers of Satan, transforming themselves as ministers of light. The Bible said it's going to be that, and I tell you, it is in our days today. We got people trying to preach behind a pulpit that's not qualified, and they're not saved. You got to be saved, first of all.
You got to be saved. You got to be called. Okay, you got to be sent. I mean, it's got to be in that order. It's not something you take on yourself and think that you like to do it. And I tell you that you love to make, of course, a good living at it. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't want no money for preaching. I tell you, I'm not a pastor, but I tell you, I don't want no money for preaching. I tell you, I preach because I love God and I love souls. And I, of course, my pastor, where I go to church, I tell you, he's the same way. He don't want your money. He just wants to preach to you because he loves you. He's concerned for you. That's a real man of God right there. I mean, that's a real overseer. I tell you, the Bible said you take them. Of course, you take a man's salary. Our pastor said that so many times, and you'll lose your pastor. You have to go on to green and better pastures because he's not getting his back pocket full. But let me tell you something. Of course, the real man that preaches, he'll preach it. He's not a hireling. These people are hirelings. They preach it for money. But I thank God we got a man at our church that's not a hireling, but he's a real man of God. And I tell you, he's a under-shepherd, and he cares for the sheep. He cares for those that God's entrusted in him as a flock of people that really preach to them and care for them and to love them and give them what they need and not what they want to hear, but he gives them what needs to be said and what they need to hear. The Bible said, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reproving and rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and sound doctrine. The Bible said the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but they will heap themselves peaches having itching ears, turn away from the truth and turn unto fables. God have mercy. That's what happens when the word of God's not preached. People turn unto fables. I mean, they'll live and just follow anything and everything. The Bible said man must be preached too. That's why God told the children of Israel when he brought them out, he said, I'm going to bring you out of this bondage here. I'm going to bring you out of the wilderness, and I'm going to bless you. He talked about how he made a little covenant with them. He talked about how that they would tell their children that what God had done and how he brought them out. He told them that, just put it in their hearts and instill it in them what God has done, that they would not forget the God of all the earth. They would forget the God of Israel, but they would remember what God had done for them. And I tell you, that's what we must do. We must put it in our children as we raise them, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to put in their hearts what God has done for us and what how wonderful he is, and don't let them go astray. Don't let them just live like the world, but put it in them, instill it in them what God has said in his word. And I promise you, if you'll do that, they'll have something to come back to. And I tell you, the Lord will deal with them. But I tell you, they got to be taught, and we got to help one another. We got to teach one another and love one another, lift up one another in prayer. I tell you, it's very important today what we do with the word of God. Every one of us, how we take the word of God, how we receive the word of God, we must really realize how important it is. And I'm sure I'm thankful that the Lord's long-suffering, because if he wasn't, we'd all be dead. We'd all be consumed. The Bible talks about that. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, he said, we'd be consumed. As the Bible said, his mercy renew every morning, his compassions never fail. Thank God, his compassions never fail, and his mercy faileth not. Thank God, his mercy is on us. The Bible said that, of course, that God delights in those that hope in his mercy. He wants us to hope in his mercy. He wants us to depend on him all the time, not depend on ourselves, not to do our own thing, but depend on the Lord. I tell you, when we depend on him, I tell you, he'll bless us. Now, we know that God's merciful, but we ought not to take God's mercy for granted. We ought not to run in sin and say, well, the Lord's merciful. He'll forgive sin. Look what happened to Jonah. He said, well, that's right. He observed that line of advantage. He said, I know if I go down there and preach to them, you know, God, he'll forgive them. He talked about these things, and of course, God forgave them all right, but he began to talk about these things and pout and all these types of things. He observed lying vanities, but I tell you, he should have went on down and preached and done what God wanted him to do. I tell you, the devil very cunning. He'll lie to you about many things, but he said, I know. He said that God's a merciful, long-suffering God, and that he said God will forgive them, but I tell you, he observed lying vanities about. Of course, the devil lied to him. He took that lie. You need to go on and read that. It's been a while since I read the book of Jonah, but it's a good book and a lot to be learned. But here in St. John chapter 12, it said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. The Bible said that he came to Bethany where Lazarus was. Lazarus was there. He had been dead, but God raised him up. The Bible said there made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, Spikner, now I don't know exactly how to pronounce that word, but it said very costly. It was an ointment here. It was very costly. The Bible said, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair in his house, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I mean, she come to anoint the feet of her Lord. I tell you, she wiped his feet with her hair, and she took this costly ointment. She didn't care how much it cost. She knew he was worthy of this ointment. She knew he was worthy of it, and she began to give him what she thought she could do, to put it and wash his feet, the Bible said, and she loved him. The Bible said, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to bag and bear what was therein. I tell you, we have these same thieves today, the same way. I mean, they say, oh, don't give your money to this. Don't just spend your money on this, but give it to me. Give it to me. You know how they do, how they always preach on the blessings of giving. See, it's not that they really care for the poor. It's not that they really care. Yet they'll feed the poor. Yet they'll give a little of the money. But the main reason they preach that and do all of that is because they want to pad their back pockets. They want the bigger homes. They want the nice cars. They want all that money. And that's exactly why they do it. And I tell you, that's the way this man was right here. He said that this cost so much, it ought to have been given to the poor. He didn't care for the poor. He was a thief. He had the bag, the Bible said. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, which had been raised from the dead. Now we talk about this thing here. The woman, she anointed his feet. She loved him, and she brought this costly ointment. In another situation, it talked about a woman that came and anointed the feet of Jesus. He talked about that. And one Simon talked about, in the same, this, of course, is a costly way, and these types of things. And why had not this been given? It talked about it in another place, and it talked about these things. And the Bible said, of course, he gave the man a parable. He said, let me tell you something. He talked about if a man owed you, of course, a 200 pence or 100 pence. He gave an illustration that how one owed him and how another owed him more. And he talked about now, he said, he asked the question. He said, now, which one of those you think loved him the most? Those that forgave him of his debt. The one that, well, there was two that owed him, but one owed him more. Now, which one loved him the most? And they said, the one that owes you the most. And he said, you have rightly judged. He said, you have rightly judged. And see, the Bible said this woman, Of course, took this, and she anointed my feet because her sins were many, but they have been forgiven. And I tell you, that's the way it is. When a lot of times those that's been dug down in the pits of sin, I mean, way on down. I tell you, a lot of times they'll make the better Christian than those that's pretty much ain't had a whole much of a hard life like they have, but they've been saved, and they just don't appreciate God enough. But those that's really had a lot of way on down and really down in the pugmire and about to die, and these types of things, and God pulled them up and pulled them out. They got saved. They loved the Lord more. I tell you, the more you try to love Him, the better it be. I tell you, He loves you with unconditional love. But I tell you something, when you love Him, you'll give yourself to Him. You'll give yourself to the Lord, just like this woman did. She took this ointment and gave it to Him. And we ought to give ourselves to the Lord, not so much go and give our monies. I believe in supporting our church. I believe in tithes and offerings. Don't get me wrong. I believe it. I believe in these types of things. But I tell you, I do not believe that, of course, on the blessings of giving, they preach it all the time. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that with the man preached that gain is godliness, for such turn away. That is their message. If you give your dollars, God will bless you fourfold. God will bring you that brand new home. God will give you that brand new car. God will do this. Just claim it and you got it. I mean, just give your money, claim it, and it's yours. If it don't come, then you didn't have enough faith, they say. I mean, all these types of teachings, it's erroneous. It's not of God. Let me tell you, the Bible said, from such turn away. He said, but of course, being godliness, the Bible said, with contentment is great gain. That's what's great gain. That's how you gain in the Lord's service, is living godly and trusting in Him and doing your best to please Him. That's how you're going to gain. That's how you're going to be blessed. Spiritual blessings will come. The Bible said we're not to go and to seek for our own selves, but for the welfare of others. And we ought to do our best to please Him. Not look for anything in return. You don't live for God because you just want God to pour all the blessings on you. You ought to want to live for God because you love Him, because you want to please Him. He brought you up out of sin. He set your feet on the solid rock. He saved your soul from hell. He gives you all the blessings and benefits daily. He got it. He's put Himself inside of you, in fellowship with you, when you're really trying to walk in His Word. That's what He wants. He wants you to love Him. I mean, give yourself. This woman loved Him. She took this costly ointment and anointed His feet. I mean, she wasn't ashamed to get down at His feet and wash His feet with her hair. She wasn't ashamed. No, she got right on down. She knelt down, and she wasn't ashamed of Him. I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I get ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I tell you, people get ashamed of Him. They just need to get saved, or they need to get their hearts right. I tell you, He does so much for us. He's so precious to me. I tell you, He's very precious to me. He's beautiful to me. I tell you, the people say, oh, you shouldn't call a man beautiful, but that's one man I'll call beautiful. He's beautiful from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The Bible said He's altogether lovely. I'm talking about especially darkly dimming through a glass. I've been looking at Him. I tell you, everything about Him's wonderful. Everything about Him's beautiful. There's no blemish in Him. I tell you, there's no sin in Him. There's no disappointment in Him. It's all wonderful. I tell you, He blesses us even when we don't deserve it. And I love Him for it. I appreciate Him being merciful to me and long-suffering to me. But this woman wasn't ashamed. She got down and she anointed His precious feet. And she, well, of course, just gave herself to the Lord. And the Bible said, let this woman alone from this day of marriage. She's kept this. She's kept it in her heart. She wanted to do this for me. You leave her alone. He said, you always have the poor. He said, now you're really not concerned about the poor, no way. You're concerned about your sorry self. You're a thief. You want the bag. You want the money. But you're not concerned about me. You don't love me like this woman loves me. You leave her alone. That's exactly the way it is. You got people today that's been saved, and I mean, they've gotten saved and done nothing for the Lord. I mean, they've went back and just living after their flesh and not really doing what they're supposed to. Yeah, they go to church, all right, but they're not giving themselves. They're not getting down at His feet and anointing His feet. They're not getting down and really appreciating Him and loving Him and just calling on and being thankful that He's their God, but yet they're running in their sins. And the Bible said here that we also love Him. And I tell you some folks, I'm thankful that the Lord saved me and pulled me out. And I want to be faithful to Him as long as I live. I always want to praise the Lord. I want nothing to come between me and the Lord. I want the Lord to kill me and take me out of here before I shame His name, before I backslide and get out and just kill my testimony. I want to die before that time. I don't want to shame Him. He bore enough shame at Calvary. And I appreciate Him dying for me and dying for the sin of the world. And all you got to do today is just repent of your sin and call on Him, and He'll save you too, and He'll be that precious to you. When He'll cleanse you and forgive you of all your sin, I promise you, you'll be forgiven, you'll be happy. My time's coming and going. Write to us, pray for us, and God bless you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.